Dave Moore on Today FM.
Now, I am so excited about this. Sitting across from me are two of the most qualified human beings I've ever come across in my life. We've got Dr. Nora Patton. You may already know as Space Nora, and she's from Mayo. But Canada's Dr. Shauna Pandya is here as well. And we're in studio to chat about their preparations before you both go to space. Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are so excited to be here.
Good morning.
I'm so excited to have you. Nora, it's been a while.
It has, actually.
Since you've been in studio, yeah. It's definitely been a while since you were in, but a few things have happened in the meantime.
A few things have, is right, yeah. So our space flight was announced in June of this year. So, oh, it's just been amazing, an amazingly positive and just a really incredible few months.
And I'd say so, because when the announcement was made and we saw you guys and Kelly together, like, immediately it was like, wait, this is an all-woman space flight. And that, I think, as someone, Manora, we know about you, that you work obviously trying to, you know, work in STEM, but also to kind of increase awareness for particularly girls, you know, that STEM is an option and something that, and to get to this point, having done everything you've done in your career and worked so hard for it to come to fruition, but to come to fruition with an all-female team, that has to be wonderful.
It's so special. And it has come up so often, you know, about the three females together going on a research suborbital space flight. And I just think, you know, we're going to have a launch soon that will be the 100th woman to go to space.
Amazing.
And I just think, you know, the three of us, myself, Shauna and Kelly, have just such a massive opportunity to reach so many young people, but also to contribute to women's health studies in space and the research of females and how the space environment affects us.
Of course, yeah. And Shauna, welcome to Ireland.
Thank you.
Are you being treated well?
Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm getting the red carpet treatment. It's incredible being here.
Although Nora did pick literally the two coldest days in the world to bring Sean in. I mean, like, come on.
I'm Canadian. This makes me feel even more welcome.
Fair. So. That's absolutely fair. You know what a real winter is, in fairness to you. We know Nora. Nora's been on the show many times. The country knows Nora. What about you? What's your story? How did you get involved in this career?
Yeah, that's a great question. So hi, everyone. I'm Shauna. I'm Canadian and I'm a physician. And my journey into space and wanting to be an astronaut started when I was very young. So I grew up during the 90s when I watched Canada's first female astronaut, Dr. Roberta Bondar, go to space. And I thought, oh my gosh, we can do that as Canadian girls and women. And so I, you know, when you're a child, you simplify things. And I said, I want to do what she does. So I said, okay, to do what she does, I need to follow her trajectory. So I said, I'll go study neuroscience, medicine, and then be an astronaut.
She was simple.
So simple, right? Yeah. And so for the longest time, I was a neuroscientist and then a physician. And then, you know, the trajectory was set. And, you know, you work really, really hard. You work with great teammates. And somehow on June 20th of this year, it worked out.
It certainly did. Now, look, I'm looking at your qualifications. You, as you said, you are a physician, you're a neuroscientist, you're a scientist astronaut, you're an aquanaut, you're a speaker. You were doing speaking last night in DCU, a martial artist, an advanced diver, a skydiver, a pilot in training. Do you have time to, you know, kick back and watch a TV show at any point, or is that just for another life?
You know, I'm fueled purely by coffee. Okay. There's a lot of caffeine involved. I was, I think backstage we were chatting about, I'm on a 7-country world tour right now.
Wow.
And I was saying that, you know, if you don't take time to just acclimate to one time zone, jet lag's not a problem.
Okay, so you're not here, nowhere long enough to get jet lagged.
Exactly. Yeah, just keep on going. Keep
operating on Canadian time all the way around the world.
Yeah, exactly. At some point it may catch up. But
well,
right now,
I would imagine so. But listen, it's so good to have both of you in here, because I do think that, you know, from what I've seen from your Instagrams, you know, you are enjoying this immensely, but it is really vitally important. And you mentioned like female health, you both talked about that. So I've seen, for example, that you guys, when you are in weightless flights, I've seen you with what looks like a model of fallopian tubes.
Yes.
And I see, what are you guys doing in those videos?
I really
want to know.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so we have gotten so many questions about it. I'm so excited to talk about this. So on Earth, as a physician, I practice in emergency medicine and I also do a lot of primary care, especially with women's health.
Okay.
So women's health is very, very underrepresented, understudied, not just on Earth, but also in space. Only 12% of astronauts to date have been women.
Yeah.
And so we were doing doing IUD or intrauterine device insertion in microgravity. We were the first team in the world to do that. And we get a lot of, hey, that's cool, but why, beyond the photo op or the video op? And really, it's as a proof of concept that it can be done and it can be done safely. Because when you look at what it takes to go to Mars, that could be a 3 to 5 year mission duration. And if you, the current way that women and female astronauts manage their menstrual cycles is by taking birth control pills.
Yeah.
If you bring that amount for a 3 to 5 year mission, it's at least 1,100 pills. And you don't know that they'll not expire or deteriorate in the radiation environment. So if you want another method for menstrual management, or even if your IUD falls out, you want proof that it can be done in anything other than 1G. So that was the first time that anyone had demonstrated it could be done successfully. And then the other leap where Nora performed amazingly is, what if it's the doctor who needs contraceptive or IUD management? Are you able to perform just-in-time training for a non-medical expert to successfully remove or insert an IUD? And Kelly and Nora did amazingly. So that was another proof
of
concept.
Great. Yeah, yeah, really important. One of the things I did notice, which I absolutely love, is you guys, big hair, don't care. So like when you're in a weightless flight, right, you both have really long hair, it flies up. You're like blocking each other's views of things. Oh, Nora's disappeared behind Shauna's hair. Oh, she's back again. I love that stuff. It's absolutely brilliant that you're so free up there. Like, you know, because obviously there are rules, there are regulations, there are safeties. There's all these things. We all know from a normal flight, we're not achieving anything approaching weightlessness, hopefully. But when you guys are up there, it just seems like it's important, but it's also a bit of fun.
Shauna's hair, definitely.
Is this a bone of contention?
There's one really fun video that I put on Instagram, and literally, as you say, Shauna's hair just covers the camera, and
it's like seaweed, it's like everywhere. And then there's this other video where we're spinning Kelly and we're trying to keep her safe, make sure that we don't drop her because that's considered poor form. But in between, like, guarding her, you can see me zhuzh up her hair and make sure it has the perfect micro G, you know,
micro G volume. Yeah,
exactly. So it's like we're here for your safety, but we're also here for your hair.
It's only a matter of time before the hair companies realize that they also have to, you know, cater for women who are going to fly in microgravity, and that is going to be the next little marketing tool. I'd imagine.
We're here, call up.
Dr. Nora Patton and Dr. Shauna Pandya are here talking about the trip to space, which you guys are going to do, suborbital flight in, what, 2026-ish?
As early as,
okay. And what's the delay between now and then?
They're building us a spaceship.
That is an important feature, I would imagine, in going to space. So, okay, so they're building it right now.
Yeah, so we're flying with Virgin Galactic, and previously they would fly researchers to space aboard their Unity class of spacecraft. Their last flight aboard Unity was in June of this year, and we were all down on site to see that. And now they are building an even bigger version called the Delta class of spacecraft.
Amazing.
So that has now entered manufacturing, on track to come online in 2026 when Nora and I will fly to space together.
Like, as somebody who watched The Next Generation, for example, the Star Trek show, right, as a kid in the 90s, like, you think about that and you think about terms like, you know, this type of space vessel and this type of space, you know, station. And, okay, obviously then it goes into the realm of science fiction, but so much of it was based in reality, and Gene Roddenberry it was so important to him to base it in science. When you guys say sentences like that, you know, they're building this new class of vessel or whatever, like, do you realize that you are at the, like, you're so at the beginning of what's going to be Star Trek levels of where we're going to end up as a civilization?
It is funny you say that. A few people have said to me, I'm so matter of fact about saying I'm going to fly to space. But I just think it's a testament to where the industry has come from and is going to. So, and I've seen it, I see it firsthand in Ireland. I work for a space company in Ireland, and we take on graduates, interns, and I just feel like there's so much opportunity there now because of the commercial activity, because of so many, you know, launches, satellites, AI in space, all of these things. And for Ireland, I just feel like, you know, this space flight, it's a first of nation. We just have a massive opportunity here to really showcase what we can do. And I think this really feeds into our new just released call for experiments that we've just released this week.
That's brilliant. I want to talk about that, because people can suggest to you guys what it is you will study when you're in space. So tell us about this. How did you do this, Shauna?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had tremendous success with the science that we studied on our first research flight, IIAS-01. And we had biomedical sciences payloads, two of those, and one physical sciences payload. And since then, we've done a lot of work in orbital flight, in parabolic flight, which some may know as the Vomit Comet.
Yep.
And we have, we've carved out our areas of expertise. So obviously, being a medical doctor, biomedical sciences makes a lot of sense. I've done a lot of work in neuroscience. And then each one of us on the team, Kelly, Nora, myself, all feel really passionate about women's health. We've done some work in that. So on this call for science, our priority areas are neuroscience, health tech, women's health, and then also the physical sciences. And anyone who's working in these domains who has a great idea, we're grading them on the return for science, return for impact on health in on Earth, as well as for astronaut health in space. Okay. So if folks want to apply, they just head over to our institute's website, astronauticsinstitute.org, and the solicitation's there. We have a live Q&A on December 18th to answer questions, and it's due January 31st. So we want your ideas.
Well, listen, there's a message in. It says, Sophie Ashmore from Bremore Educate Together School, Balbriggan, is graduating in STEM from Maynooth University in January. So that's in from Stuart. So there are literally people right now graduating from universities with this kind of expertise. They can suggest the science. So make sure you do that. Now, there's a good point being made from Pat the Painter in Limerick, and says, Dave, you're saying you want to do all of that in zero G. Aren't you afraid of heights? Try getting you up to zero G first. Yes, I am terribly afraid of heights and also roller coasters. So can you guys just explain to me what happens when you achieve weightlessness? Does it feel like a roller coaster, or is it more controlled than that, Nora?
So yeah, this was actually asked last night after Shauna's panel. And I think it's very individual, like how we experience the microgravity environment. One of the questions was, how was it for you? Did you love it? Did you feel it was a bit weird? I absolutely loved it, for me personally. Particularly that first parabola, when you know, the aircraft flies in this kind of motion, it's like a hilly motion up and down and you're transferring your kinetic energy to potential energy, and you get this 20 seconds-ish of weightlessness. And it's just amazing. Really? I mean, you know, you lift out of the seat, the straps start to float. If you have anything in your hand and you let it go, it floats in front of your face.
Yeah.
And it gives you a little tiny bit of an insight in terms of how adjusted we are for Earth, and the fact that we have everything we need here.
Yeah.
But if we are to go and live and work in space, you know, it's a totally different environment. And I just think it's an amazing testbed to have that 20 seconds of weightlessness. But I just can't wait for the suborbital to have, you know, minutes of microgravity. I thought it was just a really, really incredible experience to have that opportunity.
And I think my fear of roller coasters comes from not trusting the people who are in charge of the roller coasters, who, by the way, do a great job. Let's just categorically say that. I don't know, when I get into an aircraft, I feel like, okay, this feels official. Everyone's in uniforms. Everyone knows what they're doing. That's where my fear comes from, is absolutely the other end of things. Well, I asked people for questions just to see if they had anything to ask you guys. And one of the things I've noticed is how close you two have become on this kind of world tour since the announcement, and Kelly as well, but particularly you two, and obviously you're both here today. And one of the questions, I think, is about something that I know that you've spoken about before. Simon Ricardo says, if you bring a fizzy drink, a carbonated drink, into space, does it remain fizzy? And Shauna, I'll leave this answer to you because you seem obsessed with sparkling water. Is that true?
For those who can't see, I literally have a glass of sparkling, a bottle of sparkling water in front of me right now. Nora and I have traveled together, lived together extensively. She knows there will be cases of sparkling water around me.
She's not joking.
Not joking. So I feel qualified to answer this. So the concern with carbonated beverages in microgravity, and there have been like previous proposals by brewing companies, by cola companies, to do this in space, is you can't burp in microgravity. It's going to be wildly uncomfortable for you if you try to drink a fizzy beverage in zero G. It's just going to bloat. It won't be a good day. So, you know, you can bring it with you. I just wouldn't recommend drinking it.
See, that's what's incredible, to know things like, you know, that, yeah, okay, you're going to go and fly and be weightless and then zero G and all, whatever. You can't burp. Like, that's just incredible. That's so incredible. Jonathan says, if space is infinite, how far can you actually travel from Earth? Well,
Well, you can keep going forever. It's just the limit of the human lifespan.
Yeah, exactly. You won't be around by the time you get to the infinite part. I promise you that. I do a quick fire round with all my guests. Okay, so I'm going to fire these questions at you.
Amazing.
I won't ask you both to answer all of them. So I'll individualize them. I'll ask you, Nora. What are you currently obsessed with?
Instagram.
Really?
Yeah.
You love it,
do
you?
I found it a really positive platform to be on, particularly since the announcement. And microgravity gives such a great opportunity to get these really cool videos.
Yes, good content.
So we can show the videos of the IUD, but explain the science behind it as well.
Exactly.
So if people want to get a feel of, you know, what it's actually like to fly in microgravity, but also understand why we do it. So I'll go with Instagram.
Brilliant. Shauna, think back to when you were about 8 years old. You're in school and it's lunchtime. So you open up the lunchbox that you've got with you. What is inside the lunchbox?
Oh gosh. So I think this speaks to the power of how much family has been important in my life. So my mom would always pack my lunches. It would always be same old. It would be a sandwich made with love. It would be a juice box. It would be a snack. And it's always, you know, very, very dependable.
Okay, details though. Like, so what's in the sandwich?
You know, it could be anything from a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. My mom really wanted us to have fresh veggies, so she would put lettuce in it, but it would become slimy by the time. So we had to talk about that growing up, that slimy lettuce is no bueno.
and Canadian snacks, what would they have been? What would you have been be your little treat?
Oh gosh, you know, if it was Halloween time, it would be some Halloween candy. If it was another part of the year, it'd be something healthy like an apple, granola bars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. I think, excellent.
Yeah.
And I'll ask you both the final question. You can both answer this. And it's a, are we able to? And if so, you'll hear what it is. So I ask this question because I don't. So can you wash your legs in the shower in space? And do you wash your legs in the shower on Earth?
Of course, we're not monsters.
I'm a monster then, apparently. Go on.
So in space, it would be a sponge bath because, you know, you don't have the running water.
No flowing water, yeah.
But really, why wouldn't you want to clean every square?
Nora, do you wash your legs on Earth?
I do.
I liked you guys before this.
Our flight is a suborbital, so we'll be able to have a shower before and after.
Before and after, fair enough. Listen, if you want to catch up with Dr. Shauna and Dr. Nora, tomorrow you guys are in Easton's O'Connell Street.
In Dublin.
Yes. In Dublin on Saturday. And you're doing, is it a panel and a meet and greet and everything?
Yeah, so at 12 noon, tickets are available at Easton on Easton's website, just that they will prioritise people
ticket
who have
holders.
Tickets.
Yeah.
But it is generally, it's open to the general public. We'd love to meet and greet, come along, say hello.
Amazing.
And I've set up a foundation, the Nora Patton Foundation, specifically to support the outreach, the education, the space flight. And we're going to be launching our Christmas card.
Amazing.
Yeah. So all profits, all proceeds go towards the foundation. And we've just exciting plans, I think, you know, in the run up to the flight and post flight.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you both for coming in. Really appreciate the time. Best of luck with the flight in 2026. We will talk before that.
Yeah,
okay?
Definitely.
That's a guarantee. Dr. Shauna Panda, Dr. Nora Patton, thank you guys so very
Dave
much.
Dave Moore on Today FM.